This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Potential Trump subpoena. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Wednesday, May 2nd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller has reportedly indicated he may issue a subpoena if President Trump won't speak to his team investigating Russian campaign collusion.
Seven states are suing the Trump administration to end the DACA program that protects young adults brought here illegally as children.
On the health front, the CDC says tick and mosquito-borne infections have been surging. Hear the reasons why.
And the labor market is so tight that some cities are offering generous incentives to get you to move there and fill an opening.
There is potentially a worker shortage where companies just can't find enough people to fill all the jobs that they have open. And so some places, especially smaller cities, small towns, rural areas, are offering to pay people money to move there.
Wall Street Journal reporter Shandy Race on desperate cities willing to do things like pay off some of your student debt. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has raised the possibility of issuing a subpoena for President Trump if he refuses to speak with investigators. Reuters cites a former lawyer for the president who says Mr. Mueller mentioned the possibility of a subpoena in a meeting with Mr. Trump's lawyers in March about Russia. Mr. Mueller's warning was first reported by The Washington Post. The special counsel is probing possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
Once again, I'm not going to get into a back and forth about questions leaked or anything having to do with the special counsel.
The Post says after the March meeting, Mr. Mueller's team agreed to provide the president's lawyers with more specific information about the subjects they wish to ask Mr. Trump about. With that information, Mr. Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, compiled a list of 49 questions the president's legal team believed he would be asked. They were leaked by the New York Times. The list includes questions on whether the president may have unlawfully tried to obstruct the investigation. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is pushing back against a group of Republican lawmakers who say he should lose his job for resisting their demands that the Justice Department turn over documents related to politically sensitive probes. Mr. Rosenstein's comments came as he faces pressure from Republican lawmakers to produce documents involving the department's investigation into the use of a private email server by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, a lingering source of dissatisfaction in the GOP. There's reportedly a draft of articles of impeachment against Mr. Rosenstein being floated in the House.
Documents like that, that nobody has the courage to put their name on and that they leak in that way. But I can tell you, there have been people who have been making threats privately and publicly against me for quite some time. And I think they should understand by now the Department of Justice is not going to be extorted.
North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows, chair of the Freedom Caucus, says if Mr. Rosenstein believes being asked to do his job is extortion, then he should step aside and allow a new deputy attorney general. President Trump has lashed out at the publication of these questions that Special Counsel Robert Mueller was said to be interested in asking him as part of the Russia probe and possible attempts to obstruct the inquiry. In a morning tweet yesterday, Mr. Trump said it was disgraceful that the 49 questions were provided to the New York Times, which published them on Monday night. Analysis now from Richard Roth, attorney with the Roth Law Firm in New York City. Richard, you don't think the president should meet and answer questions voluntarily?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Mueller will make mincemeat out of the guy. He's got some very hard questions he has to answer. And the bottom line is that if he goes in front of Mueller, it'll be a feeding frenzy for Mueller when it comes to Donald Trump.
Why would they leak these questions, by the way, or why would somebody leak them?
That's a good question. So one of two things happened. Either they were inadvertently left somewhere, or the only thing I can imagine, there's no question that Mueller would not leak these. Mueller, this is not the way Mueller plays, but nor is it to his advantage. But Trump could have leaked these. He could have, my understanding from the questions, we haven't seen the actual document, but my understanding, these are notes from questions. It could very well have been conversation between the Mueller team and the Trump team, and it may have been notes taken by the Trump team. Why would Trump leak them? Because he would want to show that the Mueller investigation is a fishing expedition. He'd want to show that the Mueller's asking questions which really have nothing to do with the Russian interference. He'd want to basically show that Mueller is way beyond what his essential initial assignment was. So that's the only reason why Trump may want to do it. He may say, look, it's Mueller's just fishing, it's all nonsense. I can't imagine why Mueller would allow these to be leaked. And the more I've read, it seems as if these are not actually the questions that were going to be asked, because as I understand it, these are notes taken by the recipient of a conversation. So it may have been someone in Trump's office taking notes of a conversation they had with Mueller. And the reason why I say that is because it looks like the grammar is improper, there's typos. It's just not questions by a formal questions by a prosecutor. It looks like these are notes of a conversation that was had with someone at the prosecutor at Mueller's office.
Could it be a setup or a bait of some kind?
It could be a bait. I mean, it could be a bait, or it could be Mueller did have, there have been conversations, and Mueller's office did reach out to Trump, and it may very well have been a conversation where someone from Mueller's staff may have said, listen, these are the kinds of things we want to ask you. And it may have been note-taking by the Trump staffer, or Trump team, if you will, essentially writing down his conversation with the Mueller team. So I think it seems to me that these are recipients of questions, not the questions themselves. That's what it sounds like.
We're speaking with Richard Roth, attorney in New York from the Roth Law Firm, talking about whether or not President Trump should allow himself to be questioned by Mueller. Mr. Roth says he should not. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or play politics here. If there's no collusion, as he says, why not do the interview?
Well, because there's a lot of tough questions he's got to answer, very hard questions. I mean, let's not forget that our good old president fired Mr. Comey, and after he fired Mr. Comey, he said the stress was taken off of him. So, you know, was he obstructing justice when he fired the head of the FBI? Why would he say that the stress was taken off him after he fired him? Was it because Comey was looking into his conduct? There's not a good answer to these questions. Questions about Mr. Flynn. He apparently had meetings with Mr. Flynn, and he made tweets, some would say stupid tweets, but, you know, welcome to the new world, about his relationship with Flynn and the investigation with Flynn. How do you answer those questions? How do you answer the purpose of the firing of Comey? How do you answer the meetings that his son had with the Russian delegates? There's so many questions that he just is not going to be able to answer. You could say what you want about the president. I don't think he's that good on his feet. You know that everyone in the administration is telling him to stick to the script, to the script. And so it would be a very, very damning thing for him to sit there and answer questions from the prosecutor. It just, I can't imagine him coming out looking good.
Analysis from Richard Roth, attorney with the Roth Law Firm in New York City. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. The Trump administration is being sued by 7 states that want the end of a program started by former President Obama that protects immigrants brought to the U.S. illegally as children. Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Nebraska, South Carolina, Texas, and West Virginia filed suit in federal court in Texas yesterday in the latest legal fight over the 2012 DACA program that President Trump already has tried to rescind. Mr. Trump, you'll recall, said in September he would terminate the program but gave Congress 6 months to replace it. Lawmakers failed to do so. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
Left intact, DACA sets a dangerous precedent by giving the executive branch sweeping authority to ignore the laws enacted by Congress and change our nation's immigration laws to suit a president's own preferences.
The program protects around 700,000 young adults from deportation and gives them work permits for two-year periods. Courts have ruled that the program can stay in place for now, although no new applications will be accepted. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump's former attorney, says the special counsel leading the Russia investigation raised the prospect in March of issuing a grand jury subpoena for the president, confirming that investigators have floated the extraordinary idea of forcing a sitting president to testify under oath. Attorney John Dowd says special counsel Robert Mueller's team broached the subject during a meeting with Trump's legal team while they were negotiating the terms of a possible interview with the president. It was not immediately clear in what context the possibility of a subpoena was raised. California and 16 other states are suing the Trump administration over its plans to scrap standards on vehicle greenhouse gas emissions, which help set gas mileage rules. The suit was announced by Governor Jerry Brown and State Attorney General Javier Becerra.
The Trump administration failed to follow its own clean car regulations, and the Trump administration violated the Clean Air Act.
The suit takes aim at a plan by the EPA to roll back and revise emission standards for vehicles manufactured between 2022 and 2025. Those pesky ticks and mosquitoes may be more dangerous than you think. The CDC says the number of illnesses caused by mosquito, tick, and flea bites have tripled in the U.S. over the last 13 years. More than 640,000 cases were reported across the country from 2000 through 2016, though officials say the actual number of illnesses is likely much higher. During that period, 9 new germs spread by mosquitoes and ticks were either discovered or introduced into the country. The most common diseases include Lyme, West Nile, dengue, and Zika. Paris police say 109 people are in custody after May Day protests against reforms by President Emmanuel Macron turned violent in the French capital. Heated demonstrations saw vehicles torched, a McDonald's restaurant smashed up, and vandalism at shops. Several people were injured. 6 years after last landing on Mars, NASA is sending a robotic geologist to dig deeper to take the planet's temperature. The Mars InSight spacecraft, set to launch this weekend, will take the planet's pulse by making the first measurements of Mars quakes. Scientists will also track the wobbly rotation of Mars on its axis to better understand the size and makeup of its core.
That stuff is so cool.
We need to know this since we're going to be moving there soon.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Buy your real estate now. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The Federal Open Market Committee meeting concludes this afternoon with an announcement after 2 p.m. Eastern Time, a preview from Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Greg, what's the landscape right now?
The big thing is that inflation has finally moved up toward this target, this 2% target the Fed has been talking about for the past several years. And you know, inflation had been running well below that. Justifying that gradual pace of increases in interest rates that we've been seeing. Question now becomes, now that inflation has moved up to this 2% mark, does that cause the Fed to accelerate the pace of interest rate increases? You know, already speculation has increased and the odds favor a total of 4 interest rate hikes here in 2018 rather than the 3 that was the expectation at the outset of the year.
And that could happen at a quicker pace, which is also alarming to some investors, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the pace of interest rate increases, is something that could, further unnerve markets, and could, represent a headwind to the economy at some point. We've seen interest rates go up only at a very gradual pace thus far. It's been roughly 2.5 years for the Fed to raise interest rates a total of 6 times. And so if the pace of that picks up, it's something that could represent more of a headwind to the economy. We're still at the point now where a rate hike is essentially taking the foot off the gas pedal, not actively pressing on the brake, but we're getting to that point. So a couple more rate hikes, and then we're at the point where the Fed is actually pressing on the brake in an effort to slow the economy.
Okay, and as you like to point out, these types of things, especially rate increases, impact everybody. Explain that.
These rate hikes and what the Fed just is doing more generally with what's called monetary policy impacts everybody. It certainly impacts you if you're borrowing money or have outstanding debt that's tied to a variable interest rate. Savers are finally winning. They're finally seeing some improvement in their returns. But look, a lot of the volatility we've seen in the stock market can be traced to what the Fed is doing with interest rates and the shrinking of their balance sheet.
We're speaking with Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Some of the choppy waters, I guess, that could lie ahead are what here, Greg? Economically.
Market volatility, which that can undermine confidence in the broader economy. In a perfect world, investors would be able to, breathe deep and nobody would, panic sell and people would buy more when the market pulls back. But, we all know that's not how people react. A sustained pullback in the market is something that could undermine confidence in boardrooms. And then all of a sudden, you've got companies that are not investing or hiring to the same extent. So that's the cycle that the Fed doesn't want to see start. And so that's really why they've taken a gradual pace to date. Question becomes, does inflation move up to a point where it forces the Fed's hand and it makes them act a little bit more aggressively?
Thanks, Greg. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Again, the announcement by the Fed this afternoon around 2 p.m. Eastern Time. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you were fumbling around in the dark and someone handed you a flashlight, you'd take it, right? Nobody wants to be left in the dark, but shouldn't it be the same when it comes to spotting threats to your identity and the data on your devices? The digital world is so full of connections, it may only take one weak link for criminals to get in. Fortunately, new LifeLock identity theft protection now adds the power of Norton Security to shed light on more of today's threats. Threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and threats to your computer or tablet, like ransomware or emerging viruses. Of course, no one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices that you may not see on your own. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Just go to LifeLock.com and enter the promo code Gordon. That's promo code Gordon at LifeLock.com for an additional 10% off.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, May 2nd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The special counsel raises the possibility of a Trump subpoena. Students around the country today will walk out of classrooms in support for the Second Amendment. Apple says it would spend an additional $100 billion on stock buybacks. A SpaceX rocket is due to splash down in the Pacific today off the coast of California. A Japanese woman today is 117 years old, oldest in the world. And where young adults are partying these days instead of at a bar. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. In this new phase of the U.S. economy, one marked by a shortage of workers rather than jobs, civic leaders in Hamilton, Ohio, and elsewhere are asking themselves, why not pay people to move here? It's a story by Wall Street Journal reporter Shandy Race. Shandy, what are you hearing?
Well, we've got a national unemployment rate of 4.1%. That's a 17-year low. And in some places, obviously, it's even lower than that. And there is potentially a worker shortage where companies just can't find enough people to fill all the jobs that they have open. And so some places, especially smaller cities, small towns, rural areas, are offering to pay people money to move there.
It's incredible. What a swing from, like,
yeah,
I don't know, 2008, 2009, right? I was thinking of some of those kids graduating college then who couldn't find anything. And
exactly.
Now, geez.
Yeah, now you'll get a job and you'll get money towards your student loan debts.
It's incredible. So who's doing what? What kind of things are they dangling?
So one of the places that we profile pretty deeply in the story is a city in Hamilton, Ohio. It's about an hour from Cincinnati. And this is one of these kind of standard Rust Belt cities. It was once a hub for manufacturing, paper mills, and safe manufacturers. It was once known as the safe capital of the world. But, there was a downturn in manufacturing, and by the early 2000s, you know, all those paper mills and manufacturers had left, and obviously you had, you know, the recession, and the whole city was sort of decimated. The downtown became just full of dilapidated buildings. There was a 2% occupancy rate. Well, the economy started turning, and the city started really investing and trying to buy up the buildings and trying to bring employers back to the area, and they've had some pretty decent success. The problem is that they don't have the people. And this is an issue that is sort of going on all over the Midwest and in the Northeast, where the population growth has just been really tepid, especially in the labor force, people in their prime working years between 25 and 54. So the goal here is to try to really, you know, convince young people, come live in our downtown. Hopefully that'll draw even more young people downtown, and they can try to, you know, create a thriving urban center.
Sounds like a great opportunity when we say these cities are paying people to move there. In what ways are they paying them?
So in Hamilton, they are offering young people who are willing to live downtown $5,000 towards their student loan debt. In some places, like in North Platte, Nebraska, they're just willing to give you $10,000 cash if you move there and you commit to living there for a certain amount of time. Some places are offering you land. Some places are offering you, you know, money towards a down payment on a home. The idea is to just sort of give people an extra added incentive to come to these places.
Boy, who's offering land?
I think North Platte.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. There was one guy in your story, University of South Dakota economist, who called this like a modern day Homestead Act.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the idea, is like, just come here and we will, you know, give you money. I made a mistake. It's Marney, Iowa that's offering land.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, that's really something. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Shane D. Race. Her story is called How Bad is the Labor Shortage? Cities Will Pay You to Move There. Now, that's, say, without the promise of a job, they want you to move there and then look? Or you?
I think you need to probably have a job, but, I mean, it's not very hard to get one in these places. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a job. I think, like, in Hamilton, they give you, you know, a certain amount of time to find a job. But, you know, part of the whole issue is that there's this worker shortage, so it's not too hard to find a job in these places.
Boy, is there a threat that this could unwind poorly when the labor market turns?
You know, I think that that is a potential concern, but most of these programs are pretty small for now. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 12 people here and there. In Nebraska, they've only been able to attract 2 people. In Michigan, St. Clair County, Michigan, they've had more success. They've got about 40 people. But, you know, I mean, that's always sort of the issue when you're dealing with, you know, the cyclical nature of the economy. Is you kind of, you know, like right now we're telling all these people to go into manufacturing. There's this skills gap. There are so many jobs in manufacturing, but that's obviously a very cyclical industry. And so, you know, at some point there'll be a downturn and all those people we've convinced to go into manufacturing won't be able to find jobs.
Thanks, Shane D. Wall Street Journal reporter Shane D. Race. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the weather is starting to heat up in the Big Apple, and that can mean only one thing: celebrity rat sightings. Subway riders took out their phones to start filming a rodent that some thought could be the famous New York City pizza rat. You'll remember that pizza rat became a viral sensation in 2015 when a commuter's video of a rat dragging a piece of pizza down the stairs at the First Avenue 14th Street station went viral, inspiring lots of animal copycats, including Pizza Iguana, Taco Squirrel, and Bagel Pigeon. In the 3 years since, Pizza Rat has apparently moved uptown to 59th and Lex, but still craves pizza, as he's seen dragging a cheese slice near the train tracks at the station. One onlooker posted a video to Instagram proclaiming in all caps, "I just saw Pizza Rat. I repeat, I just saw Pizza Rat." Despite getting everyone all excited, the man said in an interview that he doesn't actually believe that this pizza rat is the pizza rat, though he jokes that he's sure that they are friends.
Yeah.
Now let's face facts here, Gordon. There is got to be at least one, if not several dozen, pizza rats in every New York City subway station.
It's quite possible.
There's really not one or, yeah, you know, or two, you know, cousins or whatever these two are.
Yeah.
There's a pizza rat, at least one, in every single, you know, of the 400 New York City subway stations.
Yes. It's a great mystery there below the platform, yeah, in New York City subway stations.
The surprising thing
lurks.
Yeah, the surprising thing is that we don't see them more often, is that, yeah, it's actually a big deal when you see one, because, yeah, let's face, they are definitely there.
By the way, just a quick thing here. This pizza rat.
Yeah.
We came to know in 2015.
Yes. See, can that you believe it's been 3 years?
I know. That was the year the Mets made the World Series.
So what you're saying is...
Currently, the, yes, first place team,
yeah,
in the National League East...
There you go.
...is the New York Mets.
All right.
And there's been another pizza rat sighting.
I'll take it.
All right?
I'll take it. Let's see a pizza rat every day for the rest of the year, if that'll get the Mets to the World Series.
Just throwing those two items out there for you.
And, Gordon, this is what you call solving a problem by creating a much bigger one. A Vermont man is facing charges that he used a shotgun to silence a smoke detector in the kitchen of his apartment. Police say two shots fired Monday afternoon from the 20-gauge shotgun owned by 68-year-old Leroy Mason of Barton hit the adjoining wall of an occupied apartment.
Whoa.
Police say Mason has complained about frequent false alarms from his smoke detector, and he was upset fire crews wouldn't relocate it, so he took it upon himself to relocate the smoke detector and shot it with a shotgun. Emergency personnel say they took the shotgun from Mason, who then pointed a handgun at them while demanding his shotgun. Mm. Emergency crews disarmed Mason. Thankfully, there were no injuries.
Wow.
I mean, we all know it can, wow, be frustrating with the smoke detectors going off, or the chirping. The chirping is the,
yeah,
worst with,
yeah,
with the low battery.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you can't figure out how to get the cover off to, yep, to replace the battery. Then you do, and then it starts blaring at you. So, mm-hmm, yes, it can be frustrating, but definitely not shotgun worthy.
Well, if you were to change the batteries in your smoke detector,
yeah,
every 6 months like you're supposed to.
Well, sure.
It's easy to figure out how to remove the smoke detector.
Oh, so you're doing
and
that?
And not cause any problems.
Like clockwork?
I do.
You're up there on the ladder?
I am religious about that.
Okay.
And then, of course, you got to test them, you know, so you,
yes,
have to set off all of them.
All right. Well, look
at
you.
The dogs freak out. That's always exciting. Perhaps. Then I remember to let them out so they don't have to hear it.
Perhaps you should counsel Mr. Mason.
I had a neighbor who let that chirping go for weeks. I think it was coming from his basement. I don't know why he ignored it, but I mean, every time I'd walk the dog and go past his house, beep, you know, every 90 seconds. Oh,
it's amazing what some people can block out.
Right, how you let that go. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. A warning from U.S. health officials. The number of Americans sickened each year by bites from infected mosquitoes, ticks, or fleas tripled from 2004 through 2016. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that some 96,000 diseases caused by bites by mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas were reported in 2016. That's up from 27,000 in 2004. Infections in 2016 went up 73% from 2015, reflecting the emergence of Zika, which is transmitted by mosquitoes and can cause severe birth defects. These increases are due to many factors, including growing populations of the insects that transmit them and increased exposure outside of the U.S. by travelers who unknowingly transport diseases back home. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein appeared to shrug off news that House Republicans have drafted articles of impeachment against him, the latest sign of escalating efforts among conservatives to oust the top Justice Department's official overseeing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation.
The president's responsible for appointing the leadership of the Department of Justice. And I can tell you, because I work with these people day in and day out, he has appointed a leadership team for the Department of Justice that respects the rule of law. And that's why I'm quite confident that we're going to comply with the rule of law.
Conservative members, led by the North Carolina Congressman Marco Meadows, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and a close ally of President Trump, drafted 8 articles of impeachment against Rosenstein on Monday. President Trump's longtime personal physician says it was Trump himself who dictated a 2015 letter saying Trump would be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. Harold Bornstein made the comment to CNN after telling NBC his office was, quote, raided for Trump's medical records last February. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders denies it was a raid.
It would be a standard procedure for the president and newly elected president's medical records to be in possession by the White House medical unit, and that was what was taking place.
Bornstein now says Trump dictated the whole letter. Texas and six other states have filed suit against the federal government in an effort to end DACA. The states filed a lawsuit yesterday claiming the Obama administration overstepped its authority when it created the program. Ken Paxton is the attorney general in Texas.
Left intact, DACA sets a dangerous precedent by giving the executive branch sweeping authority to ignore the laws enacted by Congress and change our nation's immigration laws to suit a president's own preferences.
Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Nebraska, South Carolina, and West Virginia joined the suit. The maker of the Gibson guitar has filed for bankruptcy protection after wrestling for years with debt. Gibsons have been esteemed by generations of guitar legends. After Chuck Berry died, his beloved cherry red Gibson guitar was bolted to the inside of his coffin lid. And Gibson will continue operations with a $135 million in financing from lenders.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. MarketWatch says now there are an increasing number of young adults who are shunning a night out at the bar in favor of a workout to celebrate their birthdays. CrossFit Triple City in Milwaukee, Oregon, had been offering birthday packages for kids, but an employee realized the missed opportunity. The gym recently started advertising parties for adults, too. Casey Cedillo of Scottsdale, Arizona, held her 23rd birthday party at a pole dance fitness studio. She does CrossFit six times a week, didn't want a party of eating and drinking. When she found a $20 Groupon for the class, it was easy to convince her friends to sign up, too. Subscription services like ClassPass, which offers entry to a range of fitness classes in about 50 cities worldwide for a monthly fee, can make it even cheaper. When San Francisco wellness coach Caroline Jordan turned 31, she rented out a club and hosted a birthday booty camp. She led her friends in a routine of squats and lunges under a glimmering disco ball. She says people naturally want to do things collectively as a team and suffer together, just not the hangover type of suffering. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.